Vatican and World News.
Today, Wednesday, June 5th, is the Feast of St. Boniface, Bishop and Martyr, known as the Apostle of Germany. And these are today's headlines. At the weekly general audience, Pope Francis reflects on his recent apostolic journey to Romania. At least 100 people have been killed, and Sudan's military leadership cracks down on protests, and world leaders are gathered in England as ceremonies begin for the annual commemoration of the D-Day invasion of World War II. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. During his general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis reflected on his apostolic visit to Romania, saying it was a joy to be able to walk as a pilgrim among the Romanian people. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
During his catechesis at the Wednesday general audience, Pope Francis recalled his recent visit to Romania following in the footsteps of St. John Paul II. The motto of the visit was, "Let's walk together," and the Pope expressed his joy at being able to walk as a pilgrim among the Romanian people.
Ma camminando io stesso in mezzo al popolo romeno, come pellegrino nella sua terra.
The Pontiff said that the various meetings whilst there highlighted the value and the need to walk together both among Christians on the level of faith and charity and among citizens on the level of civil commitment. Pope Francis expressed his deep gratitude as he recalled his warm meeting with Patriarch Daniel.
Con il Patriarca e il Santo Sinodo della Chiesa Ortodossa Romena abbiamo avuto un incontro molto cordiale.
And the Holy Synod of the Romanian Orthodox Church, in which he renewed the Catholic Church's commitment to walking together towards full unity. He added that this important ecumenical dimension of the journey culminated in the solemn prayer of the Our Father in the new Orthodox Cathedral in Bucharest. This was a moment of great symbolic value, the Pope said, because the Lord's Prayer is the Christian prayer par excellence, the common heritage of all the baptized.
Perché il Padre nostro è la preghiera cristiana per eccellenza.
Pope Francis also looked back on the three celebrations of Holy Mass and the beatification of seven Greek Catholic bishops. Each of these martyrs bore witness to the freedom and mercy brought by the gospel, he said. The Pope commented that the meeting with young people and families held in Iași was particularly intense and festive. It is a place, he remarked, that invites us to open roads on which to walk together in the richness of diversity.
Particolarmente intenso e festoso è stato l'incontro con i giovani e le famiglie.
Pope Francis went on to say that this meeting also had a Marian dimension and ended with the young people and families being entrusted to the Holy Mother of God. The last stage of the Pope's journey was a visit to the Roma community in the city of Blaj. Pope Francis underlined how important it was for him to greet them and renew his appeal against all forms of discrimination and for respect for people of all ethnicity, languages and religions. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
In Sudan, opposition leaders today rejected an invitation for return to talks extended by the ruling military council. The army had only just canceled an agreement with protesters on Tuesday and called snap elections. Meanwhile, as Devin Watkins reports, the death toll in a brutal crackdown on protesters is now more than 100 people.
The Sudan Doctors Committee announced Wednesday that at least 100 people have died in the military's brutal crackdown on protesters. Pro-democracy protest organizers say 40 bodies were pulled from the Nile River on Wednesday, the same day that security forces killed at least 10 people in Khartoum and Omdurman. Another 10 people were killed on Tuesday, according to the group. The violence began on Monday when troops dispersed a sit-in protest outside the defense ministry in Khartoum. Security forces killed around 40 demonstrators as they fled from live rounds of ammunition. The army put much of the Sudanese capital on lockdown, but protesters have barricaded parts of the suburbs with burning tires. On Tuesday, reports said a feared paramilitary force entered Khartoum and started roaming the streets, attacking civilians. The Rapid Support Forces, formerly known as the Janjaweed Militia, made a notorious name for itself in the Darfur conflict in western Sudan in 2003. On Wednesday, the head of Sudan's ruling military council, General Abdel Fattah Burhan, said the military is ready to resume negotiations with the opposition. The general had previously cut talks and called for snap elections within 9 months, despite a deal for a 3-year transition period to civilian rule. Protest organizers quickly rejected the invitation, saying the military cannot be serious about negotiations while killing protesters at the same time. Meanwhile, China and Russia have blocked a UN Security Council draft resolution to condemn the violent crackdown on civilians. Germany and Britain proposed the draft statement on Tuesday, urging Sudan's military and protesters to continue working together towards a solution. After the draft was blocked, the United States and 8 European nations issued a joint statement condemning the military council for putting peace in Sudan in jeopardy. I'm Devin Watkins.
Elsewhere, aid agencies are warning that at least 15,000 Syrian children will be at risk of homelessness if the Lebanese government goes ahead with a planned demolition of, quote, semi-permanent structures built by refugees in eastern Lebanon. More than half of Syria's pre-war population of 22 million people has been displaced by the war, with over 5 million leaving the country as refugees, mostly to adjacent Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan. Lebanon has been host to more than 1 million Syrian refugees escaping the violence that's ravaged the country since 2011. Terre d'Homme Foundation is a humanitarian agency that's been working in Lebanon since 1977. Country Representative Piotr Sasson told Vatican Radio about the current crisis.
Currently, we're facing a bit of a crisis with local authorities with the evictions, with the families which are the threat of eviction. For numerous reasons. Well, you know what, there are approximately 1.5 up to 2 million Syrian refugees living in Lebanon, and they have been here for the last 9 years since the beginning of the crisis. And local authorities explained to us that the presence of such a big number of Syrian refugees pose a significant strain on the available resources, on jobs. Many of the refugees live in a very bad conditions, which also is causing some pollution to natural rivers and natural water reservoirs. And also the rhetoric in the last year has been that the Syrian refugees have been taking the jobs of the Lebanese. We're having 17% of unemployment among the Lebanese youth. Therefore, this is creating a lot of tension. It also has another facet to this, which is related to the political stability in Lebanon. So majority of the Syrian refugees are Sunni, and the peace and the political ethnic structure in Lebanon is very fragile since the war has ended. So all these facts and also the fact that the conflict in Syria has stagnated quite a bit is leading the local authorities to the actions which aim at pushing the refugees back to Syria. And according to studies of international organizations, approximately 90% of Syrian refugees are ready to go back to Syria once the conditions are permitted.
In Syria itself, the World Food Programme spokesperson Marwa Awad warned that if fighting continues around the rebel-held enclave of Idlib, with 300,000 people already forced to flee their homes, a humanitarian catastrophe could well ensue. She spoke about humanitarian efforts to assist displaced persons by phone with UN News.
There have been ongoing hostilities in the southern part of Idlib and the northern part of Hama, and this had led to a tremendous number of people fleeing their homes. We know that there is over 300,000 people who've left their homes running, looking for safety. And this has resulted in a tremendous pressure on our partners on the ground to deliver food assistance and other sorts of assistance to those fleeing. We know that the escalation in violence continues. We're going to be looking at a catastrophe unfolding in the northwest. We have been reaching 200,000 people of the 300,000 who were recently displaced with emergency food assistance. But in addition to that, we've had scaled up in our monthly regular deliveries of food rations. Now we're going to be reaching 823,000 people through Turkey, through our cross-border operation. And this is just to keep the food security situation intact during this difficult time.
Finally, Queen Elizabeth II on Wednesday joined British Prime Minister Theresa May and other world leaders, including U.S. President Donald Trump, for a ceremony on the southern coast of England, kicking off 2 days of commemorations for the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings in Normandy. Linda Bordoni has this report.
On June 6, 1944, more than 150,000 Allied troops invaded the northern French coast, marking the start of France's liberation from Nazi occupiers. D-Day is remembered as a defining moment of World War II, and this year marks its 75th anniversary. 2 days of memorial services and events have already kicked off, and all the nations represented at the UK events hosted by Queen Elizabeth II and Prime Minister Theresa May have agreed to sign a joint statement, pledging to ensure the unimaginable horror of World War II is not repeated. Called the D-Day Proclamation, the 16 signatories, including the UK and the US, will commit to working together to resolve international tensions peacefully. Attending the commemoration on South Sea Common are the leaders of the countries that fought with the UK in the Battle of Normandy. These include the French and American presidents and the Canadian Prime Minister.
When the lights go on again.
War veterans gave moving memories and music from the 1940s was played.
And the boys come home again.
Queen Elizabeth said she was delighted to be at the event, to be able to thank the veterans for their service.
75 years ago, hundreds of thousands of young soldiers, sailors and airmen left these shores in the cause of freedom. In a broadcast to the nation at that time, my father, King George VI, said, "What is demanded from us all is something more than courage and endurance. We need a revival of spirit, a new unconquerable resolve." That is exactly what those brave men brought to the battle, as the fate of the world depended on their success. Many of them would never return, and the heroism, courage, and sacrifice of those who lost their lives will never be forgotten. It is with humility and pleasure, on behalf of the entire country, indeed the whole free world, that I say to you all, thank you.
Meanwhile, hundreds of other veterans have travelled to northern France to mark the occasion, where an event will take place at Colville-sur-Mer in Normandy in the presence of French and American authorities. Inaugurating the ceremonies in France on Wednesday evening, Canadian Cardinal Marc Ouellet celebrates Mass in the cathedral and gives a reflection on the need to treasure and safeguard peace in an ever more divided world. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on all the events of the Pope's day-to-day life, and for other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks to our studio team and producers. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.